I feel like I stumbled into becoming an influencer. And I don't think I'm a quote unquote like regular influencer because I'm not really trying to sell anything or show my lifestyle. Like I very purposely chose not to be a zero waster lifestyle when I started the page. I mean, I was a incredibly broke college kid with like $50 to my name. And so trying to live zero waste seemed kind of impossible to me. And so I felt that the only way that I could contribute to this movement in any way, shape, or form at that time was by donating my time to doing that kind of research.
What kinds of cardboard box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It loses its value if you take it out of its packaging.
Hey, PDU crew, it's Velio Montes on Package Design Unboxed. Today, we're speaking to one of my favorite Instagram meme creators. Yeah, I know this is a packaging podcast and you're thinking, what am I about to listen to? Well, today we're speaking to Ariel at Go Green, Save Green, and she is sharing environmental and sustainability memes that are amazing. She's not only educating her followers, but she's also creating the opportunity to have these serious conversations around serious topics in some pretty funny ways. We discuss how brands can talk to consumers about sustainability, as well as how she does her own research. We touch on carbon offsetting, carbon capture, and we discuss if we even really need these plastic water bottles these days. If you're a packaging designer, I think Ariel is going to be a great resource for you. If you're a brand manager or sustainability officer within a brand, Ariel is going to give you the ammo to fight a good fight internally. And if you're a fan of the podcast, it's a must listen because Ariel is just an awesome person with a lot of insight. So let's get to it. Ariel, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me. So I'm a huge fan of your content on Instagram. And I mean, just the stuff that you're posting about is, it's like, it's near and dear to me because I'm a packaging designer and I focus on sustainable packaging. And the conversations that we have all the time are just about sustainability. And I mean, just as of yesterday, I had a conversation with somebody about FSC certification. I'm not sure if you know what FSC certification is. It's the Forest Stewardship Council. And it means that like your packaging, like the paper that you're using for your packaging is certified from these, you know, these forests that have stewards. Basically, just like a whole bunch of stuff to put a little icon on your packaging that has a little tree on it. And the question was, will this certification become like the Dolphin Safe certification, right? Like if we watch Seaspiracy, it's like that Dolphin Safe, and all of a sudden you like realize nobody's checking, you know, nobody knows, you know, they're just slapping some stuff on, you got to pay for it. But you know, you've got some great content out there and I'd love to know a little bit about you. Could you just tell me who you are and what you're doing and how you got into this movement that you've created?
Yeah. So yeah, my name is Ariel and I'm in Los Angeles. I started my Instagram page at Go Green, Save Green when in 2018, the week that I was going to graduate from college. My background is actually in ceramics. That's like what I have my degree in, a ceramics degree. And I didn't grow up an environmentalist. I wouldn't say that or anything. I mean, I knew how to like recycle and like not litter, but I would not say that I was in any way, shape or form like more green or raised more green than like the average person in Southern California. And I just started seeing a lot of those AJ Plus, Now This videos. Like, I just felt like it was constantly coming up on my feed, on Twitter. And at a certain point, I just felt like I couldn't ignore it anymore. I want to say that What the Health kind of brought me to like a tipping point when I started realizing like just the overall impacts of eating meat and stuff like that. And then I started just researching all the time. And at first, I was just injecting what I found in conversations with my friends, and we would just be talking and I would just be like, hey, did you know this about the environment? And it probably got annoying after a while. And then I had roommates at the time, and even though I was trying to live better, even just within the context of my roommates who were not necessarily like aware of it in the same way that I was, I just felt like, wow, I'm trying to live better, but even the context of the people in my household, I feel like it's not making that much of a difference.
Right.
And so I realized that the people that I was talking to, like my friends and family, they were just like, okay, Ariel, sure, sure, sure. And I was like, God, I need to talk to somebody who's going to listen. But at the time I was like 20 years old. And I felt like nobody took me seriously. Nobody like listened to what I had to say seriously. So I was debating between YouTube and Instagram, or I was YouTube and Instagram. And I was like, YouTube is way too mean. Like I get self-conscious. I don't think I'm very like camera friendly. And I didn't want people to look at me and automatically disregard what I had to say. So I used Instagram as a platform, and it was a lot more anonymous because it wasn't necessarily like me talking. It was just me putting information out. And so I started really easy with just screenshots of news articles or ways to like easy swaps and stuff like that. And then eventually I kind of got into making memes. And within 7 or so months of me starting the page, and I was posting a lot, I was posting like 6 to 7 times a day. Like I was just constantly researching because I was like hyped. I was like, right, oh my God, this is a huge problem. And so I was literally just researching all day, like articles. Like I was learning about this. What's the impact of that? How does this work? Like this like curiosity just was overflowing. So I was posting all the time. Within 7 months, I had about 2,000 followers. And then in 2019, it was just like, it just blew up for some reason. I didn't have any structure. I was just by myself. Like I was just like any question I could think of, I was just putting in Google and seeing what would come out and just sharing that information. Cause I was like, you know, I was looking around in my home and I was like, what is the impact of these things that I have? What is the impact of these habits? And so I just came from the perspective of not somebody with any kind of educational background or financial stake in it. And it was just like me asking questions. Like And I feel like that resonated with a lot of people because since I wasn't necessarily a business or I wasn't necessarily someone investing or someone like pushing any kind of policy or anything like that, I really was, I think where a lot of people were just like, how does this even work? Or like, how does this impact me? Or how do I impact others? And I think a lot of young people really, really resonated with that. I also like to inject humor, which is a lot of memes, because it's a very scary topic. And I think if I was all doom and gloom, I don't think people would be as receptive because who wants to listen to that all the time?
Yeah, I mean, your approach is, I don't know. I mean, your approach is awesome. I mean, your post today with the Euro News, which is, you know, China removes giant pandas from its endangered list. I saw the article come across my feed and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I just moved on about my morning. But you created a meme like instantly, which was China removes giant pandas from endangered list. And then you've got Obi-Wan underneath there with like visible happiness, right? Like, it's just so funny, like just so instant. Your feed makes me laugh. And I know it's good when I'm like, oh, I wish I could have come up with that. Like that's, you know? Right? When you get that feeling of like, oh man, I wish I could have done that. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. So like I'll share some of your posts on my LinkedIn sometimes, you know, and credit you. And hoping to drive more people there and just showing that you can be sustainable, but have humor, right? And have fun. Because nobody wants to see all the, it's doom and gloom stuff, but you don't want to always be that doom and gloom person.
That's so funny. LinkedIn, I don't think anyone, I mean, I've had a couple LinkedIn random connections, but that's so nice. Like to hear my posts are making it to LinkedIn. I don't think I would have ever imagined or guessed that before.
That's so funny. So what's your goal with your Instagram feed?
Oh, that's such a good question. I feel like it's changed so many times. I will say that what my goal has never been, I've never actually been about chasing followers. I've always just been like, I want whoever follows me to actually be interested in it because I just think it's really important and I'm not necessarily doing this. I feel like I stumbled into becoming an influencer. And I don't think I'm a quote unquote like regular influencer because I'm not really trying to sell anything or show my lifestyle. Like I very purposely chose not to be a zero waster lifestyle when I started the page. I mean, I was a incredibly broke college kid with like $50 to my name. And so like trying to live zero waste seemed kind of impossible to me. And so I felt that the only way that I could contribute to this movement in any way, shape, or form at that time was by donating my time to doing that kind of research. I realized pretty quickly that people are interested in the information, but they're not interested in doing the legwork. And I was interested in doing the legwork. So I was like, why not share the information that I'm finding? Over time, that question has definitely plagued me. At a certain point, I was definitely like, do I want to pursue sponsorships? And that seemed like a really big goal. And then I did a couple and I was like, you know what? Like, this isn't for me. I'm not really interested in that. And then I was like, do I want to do like blog writing? Do I want to start a like zero waste store of my own? And both those things was not really for me. Where I have ended up landing on my feet is I recently got a job working for a nonprofit where I'm a volunteer organizer, which I felt like it was actually really in line with what I was already doing because I already felt like I was connecting and engaging and activating so many young people. So I felt like it was actually a real good next step evolution to what I was doing because it was like, okay, now I've spent all this time kind of like learning, teaching, and trying to get people excited. And now as this job as a volunteer coordinator, now I can help people like actually do something about it. And now I can kind of be like, okay, these are things that are actionable where you are. These are things that are kind of actionable where anybody is. And so that's been really nice. But now that I have that, and I also want to say like my Instagram page isn't necessarily now connected to that. I just feel like in my head it makes sense. But now that I've gotten that, now I'm kind of like, where do I want to go? And like I recently had my feed a lot more curated, which was kind of a product of COVID and being like locked up, and I like had the time to sit down. And now I feel like I'm like, actually just last night I was thinking like maybe I should go back to some chaos. Cause like maybe I should just go back to like finding articles and sharing memes, because now that I feel like I don't necessarily need to pander to any kind of sponsorships, or I don't really need to, I feel like I've reached a goal and now my work is also in the climate space. And so I feel like now I can, I guess, once again, have fun with this page because I don't really feel like I'm using this page to get something or like chase something. The whole goal of the page to begin with was just to educate. And like with the Instagram shadow bans, like those are super real. And I'm realizing, you know, the articles and the memes are quick. Like I can do that no problem. But writing out my more thought out posts, like those take time and research. And sometimes you just don't want to do that. Sometimes you don't want to like reword things. You don't want to take the time. And like, especially because you know people are going to come in and, you know, engage in like critical conversation with you. And sometimes you gotta like think, you know, I gotta have the angles covered. Like what if somebody comes at me with this or that? You know, you want to make sure that you're prepared to have those conversations in the comments.
International Direct Packaging is the only factory direct packaging manufacturer with global showrooms. They design and produce packaging for established luxury brands. Because IDP's team of packaging experts design and manufacture packaging, you get a more transparent supply chain, and you're also not going to be paying distributor markups. Find the nearest IDP showroom to schedule your first packaging consultation at idpdirect.com. Because IDP doesn't source factories, they are the factory. idpdirect.com. Stay up to date with package design news. Join me, Evelio Matos, Corey Connors, and Adam Peake every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on LinkedIn Live for the package design news. 15 minutes of the latest in packaging news. See you there.
Check out SpecRite, the number one platform for specification management. Not sure what board your box uses? Not sure how many colors or how much headspace your packaging requires? If you don't SpecRite, you'll guess wrong. SpecRite.com.
Content creation is... it can be really stressful, right? Because you're having to do the research. You've got to make sure that you word things properly. And you're right. You're like, if I say this, somebody's going to come at me from this angle. You know, what am I missing? What am I not thinking of? And it can be stressful. So the meme creation that you're doing, you know, is awesome because you're right. It's quick. Anybody can get it. And you're not really being aggressive, right? You're not like, this is how it is. I mean, you're being hilarious. But super educational. So you're not doing sponsorships. Is there any income from your feed at this point?
I feel like it comes in spurts. Like I do get opportunities here and there to like work with occasional. So I'm not 100% against sponsorships. Like if it's a right fit, I will do it. However, I realized that I didn't want to spend my time seeking them out. So if I get approached by a brand or, you know, like I was working with like an ESG bank recently. So like for those who don't know, basically a bank that is, it's like an online banking platform that's like committed and investing in helping like lower income people, specifically backing like environmental projects, not backing fossil fuels, stuff like that. You know, I have like a working relationship with them and it works. I think it works really, really well. But yeah, I'm not like actively seeking out sponsorships. I will say my followers are absolutely amazing. In 2019, I got into a car accident. Somebody like suddenly braked in front of me and I like hit them with the back of my car because it was just so sudden. And I was panicking. I was between jobs at that point. And I think I was a week into my new job. So I was just like, oh my God, like this is terrifying. And they helped me raise $2,500 to get a new car. And I was like, wow, thank you guys so much. So, I mean, I feel like things like that, the occasional person will like give me, you know, hey, I really appreciate that you did this. Like, here's $20. But like, I realized I didn't want to tie this to income and that if I was going to use this as income, it had to be a stepstone to something like a job because I wanted the page to not be dictated by like worrying about money. If I want to say something bold and controversial, like I don't want a brand to feel like, oh my God, you can't say that.
You can't
like,
say that, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, the first few weeks that I when I was following you, I honestly felt this was a company. That Go Green Savory was like a full fledged company because everything is so thought out. And this is a packaging podcast and it's about sustainability. But you know, if you're a packaging designer out there, I think you've got to go and follow Go Green, Save Green, because there's so much information there. And again, I thought this was like a full company running. And then as I dug in, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't a company. Like this is somebody having a blast creating this content and it's right up our alley. I want to ask you some stuff about sustainability, because if there's anything super confusing out there, it is sustainability. There is so much information out there. And I mean, even brands, like gigantic brands, don't know what sustainability even means. Mm-hmm. So you had a post about plastic water bottles versus the reusable water bottles and the amount of water that it takes to wash those. From your opinion, what's the solution? Do we need plastic water bottles? Do we not need plastic water bottles? Do you use plastic water bottles?
I have like a bunch of water bottles. I just looked around in my apartment right now. No, I have a bunch of like reusable water bottles. I have not used plastic water bottles in like a really long time. And the very rare once in a blue moon where like I do have a plastic water bottle now, I'm so conscious of it. And I'm like, oh my God, like I don't have my water bottle with me. And I normally do, but I would say most of the time for like your average day-to-day use, you don't really need plastic water bottles. I know that personally for me, like I have those double walled metal ones. And so even if I leave my bottle of water in my car and my car is super hot and it's like LA, so it can be like 80, 90 degrees and my car can get ridiculously hot, the water will still be cold inside. But I do think, you know, there's times like emergency situations, like, you know, situation in Flint or, you know, other emergency, like where FEMA's coming in, that where plastic water bottles do have a place. But I think that maybe we should just in general, like reconsider, especially when you think about like how much water the making of the plastic bottle uses versus like the use of it. And most people don't reuse their plastic water bottles like that. I also just recently saw an article or a video of this guy. I don't even know where he was, but it wasn't in America. It was in a different country. He was getting truckloads, like he had a van and he was filling it up with all these empty plastic bottles and literally dumping it into a river. And he was like charged with, I don't remember what, but I was just like in shock, like watching this guy literally dump like hundreds of bottles in this river, which he said that he did regularly. And I was like, oh my God.
So I've got a bunch of different guests on here. And there's one that I've had on here. His name is Chris DeArmet. You should look him up, because he's going to tweak you, I guess. You know, I'm trying to think of a way to say that. But, you know, his perspective on plastic, and, you know, he works in plastic. So, of course, there's a little bit of an angle there. But when it comes to doing, you know, an LCA, so a life cycle analysis, when you compare different materials, plastics typically win over paper, you know, because the amount of weight the plastic is so much lighter, takes up less space. You're not cutting down trees. You're not using water to grow these trees. Like all these different things that happen, and it has a smaller carbon footprint. The part where plastic loses is on recycling, right? If you've got like, you know, like this plastic lid on my cup here, that can't be recycled because it's a couple different plastics combined. So in that case, that goes to landfill. And I think the one point that he makes pretty often, which is a debatable point, is when you look at all the plastic waste in the ocean, when you look at all the plastic, you know, out on the streets, it's like, it's not the company's fault and it's not plastic's fault. Everybody demonizes plastic because it's floating in the ocean, but it's the people that put it in the ocean, not the companies. And it's kind of that same argument of guns don't kill people, bullets kill people. It's, you know, it's like companies don't pollute, it's the people that pollute. But how do you feel in terms of like plastic? Should we be reducing plastic? Should we be creating a better infrastructure to actually recycle plastic? What are your thoughts based on your research?
My thoughts are we should definitely reduce plastic consumption because, I mean, microplastics are becoming a huge issue. How much plastic do we consume like a week, you know, and we don't know like what that's doing to us, specifically like when, you know, pieces of plastic are being found in placentas, you know, animals like starving because their stomachs are physically full from plastic, but they're getting no nutritional value or they're not eating. I think that as far as like paper goes, it's really disappointing that hemp isn't more mainstream because you could definitely make a lot of like, from what I understand, you can make a lot of paper and packaging through hemp, and it helps not only just cut back on water use, but also like rejuvenate the soil. You know, like I've read that like hemp also absorbs toxic waste and it like pulls that out of the ground. So, you know, I think as an alternative to plastic, which comes from oil and is like a fossil fuel, you know, thinking about like Pemex and the disaster in the ocean this week, you know, I think that's
crazy.
Pemex? Yeah, the oil.
That was insane.
Yeah. And I find it just like harder and harder to believe that people profiting from like making and selling plastic. I mean, I don't think that there's any solutions, especially because like recycling isn't, you know, a one for one. It's always, you're going to like down, like degrade a little bit and you're never going to get like all of it back. You know, I understand like the need for plastic right now. And like, it's not practical to just like snap my fingers and like eliminate it. But I think it is going to be eventually a material that's going to be phased out. And I think if we make it out of this, fingers crossed, I think there are going to be a lot of future generations going to be like, oh my God, this is like a horrible material. But I do think that it has opened up the world for us in a way that like we would not have been able to advance without it. So I think it's just, you know, it could be like the first, like, Like it had its place, but like, we should work on building something better. Like the future of plastic should be like compostable, you know, even if it's just like industrially compostable, or like just work on ways that you can make it without the extraction process, and where companies that are making that think about, yeah, the whole life cycle of it. And like what happens when you're done, you know, with, you know, when you get your Starbucks cup and then you just like throw it away, like Starbucks didn't really, you know, they don't have like a solution for like the cups, you know, like there are coffee companies though that are doing like those like cup back programs where either you bring your cup or they have like those jars. So I don't have any singular solution, but I think that a lot of different ways that plastics gets used, we can come up with like one solution here, one solution there, one solution there. And then like, you know, similar to like energy, there will be like a transition into like those greener materials, I hope.
Hopefully, for sure. With your content creation, right, you're putting your voice out there, you're sharing all this information. Like you said, like when you're walking around with a water bottle, with a plastic water bottle, you're kind of like, oh my God, you know, I've got a water bottle. How has creating all of this content changed the way that you shop? So when you're buying product, what are you looking for, and what either helps you decide to purchase it or not purchase it?
Yeah, I think first of all, I shop actually significantly less now, and I do try more actively to shop secondhand. Luckily, I think I have just kind of curated my feed into, you know, someone that's interested in a lot of environmental stuff. So, you know, like the algorithms are always showing me like, oh, look at this brand, look at that brand. And then I kind of just go through and I look and I'm like, okay, you know, you're, say you're planting trees. Are you just planting, you know, like a monocrop forest? Are you guys like, you know, actually introducing like biodiversity? You know, what are you, how are you guys going about these like sustainability efforts? Or like, you know, as far as like shopping goes, it does impact me. I'm just trying to think of like a way. I think I obviously eat like significantly less meat now. if I can get like a bamboo version of something, like, why not? If I can get something that's like made out of using a recycled product, why not? I think the biggest thing is, I think in just general, I've lessened my consumption of stuff. And I've asked myself, is this a impulsive want, or is this something that like is actually going to benefit me somehow? Also, being an artist, I can, you know, I'm crafty. So my hands, like, I spent like years in school literally making stuff. So like all the dishes in my house and everything, like I made those, and it was not a part of me being eco-friendly. It's just because like I'm a maker, and so I can make stuff.
There's so many different things out there. You mentioned hemp, and for anybody that's listening, there's companies that do make like hemp paper that we can make packaging out of. There's companies that make, you know, hemp clothing. And the interesting thing is that I learned kind of digging into the hemp side of things is that in the US, we don't have the infrastructure to process the hemp into the type of pulp that we need in order to make paper or some of these fibers. So what companies are doing is they have to actually import it from Europe, whose hemp production and processing is years ahead of where we are. You know, then you have to ask, like, do I want to incorporate all this, the carbon footprint of transport? You know, sustainability is this onion. You just keep peeling stuff back and back. And you're like, oh my God, when is it ever going to end? You know, and you mentioned, you know, like the industrial compostable packaging, or, you know, just industrial compostable plastics. In the US, we have like, you know, we've only got a few locations that do industrial composting. And the ones that do typically don't want plastic or packaging. So like you'll see things out there that are branded compostable. You know, this bag is compostable. And it's just so, again, it just goes back to being so confusing, because people will, you know, will purchase that and they'll, you know, most people in the country will see that and go, oh, it's compostable. I'm going to put my trash, because it's going to go to the landfill and it's going to you know, they just picture this thing like it's going to compost in the landfill. You know, the deer are gonna, and the rabbits are going to walk across. So like they don't realize what a disaster these landfills are. It's like they just think it's like this beautiful area. And it's like, no, you put, you know, if you can put a bag of leaves or just a bunch of leaves out there, and in 50 years, those leaves haven't composted. You know, there's just no air. There's no oxygen. There's no moisture. Everything it needs in order to degrade just doesn't happen. So the companies that do compostable plastics are expecting it to be industrially composted. Composters don't want it. Consumers don't know how to get rid of it. And if they put that material into the recycling system, it actually damages the quality of the recycled material. So then you're doing like double damage. It's so confusing for consumers. I mean, looking at your talent in terms of the meme creation and the ideas that you're putting out there, I just see you partnering with some of these companies to get like the truth out there, to make recycling easy for consumers, because consumers are so confused.
Yeah. One of the things that I've actually been thinking about like a lot has been, how can I start to push more action? And one of those things is definitely like legislative action, because you're totally right. Like hemp right now, as is not easy for the US, and that's directly tied to cannabis and, you know, what everyone thinks about cannabis and, you know, perceptions of that. So thinking about like, okay, you know, luckily the nonprofit that I just started working for, like, I feel like they've also helped me open my eyes and think like, okay, think outside of myself, because this whole time I have just been one person. And now I'm thinking, okay, well, what if I start to partner actually with these like grassroots or businesses that are interested in changing and challenging the current legislation as is, so that way consumers can be less confused. Because part of the reason it's so confusing is because like just legislatively it's super confusing also, right? So thinking about, you know, how can I get people from past the, oh, that's a fun fact, or like, oh, that's a good meme, to like, okay, I've seen a ton of these memes, like I feel compelled to do something. Because one of the things that I realized was that there were articles that I was sharing that I felt had really important information, but it maybe wasn't the most glamorous or attention grabbing titles. So I started to make memes out of them so that way I could incorporate them. And then some of them, like the panda one, that's just like easy to make out of. But then some of them, you know, like when we're talking about like the impact of like seagrass and like how hotels are like clearing out seagrass for like hotel goers, and that's not very interesting, right? But then if you make like a meme about it and you're like, wait, what? And it kind of like makes more sense and you get people interested. So I'm trying to figure out currently how to bridge that gap between hey, this is something that you should know. And now we've got, you know, thousands and thousands of people that have this piece of information. And then I want to be able to now direct them. One thing that I'm hoping to lead my page to is like, hey, these are either businesses or nonprofits that you can work with that are trying to like advance this in like a very concrete and tactile way. So like, I'm trying to figure out how to actually not just make the connections, but like once the connection has been made, like how can I push people in that direction and just be like, hey, you know, if this is an interest to you and you're in this location, maybe check them out. And maybe, you know, you can start to get involved beyond just hitting that like button. So that's my bigger goal, I guess, now is like inspiring action.
As you're talking, I'm looking over here. I've got my screen with your feed up. So as I'm scrolling through, I'm catching little things that are making me laugh. I kind of just talk to you about some of these things. You know, you've got the ship that was caught in the Suez Canal, you know, with the little trailer kind of pushing it, you know, trying to push it. And that's like you sharing climate change memes. Meanwhile, everything, you know, everybody needs to be aware of these things. It's just that challenge. So I get what's next for you, where you want to go with this. Again, I think if anybody's listening to this, if you're in packaging, if you're into sustainability, follow Go Green, Save Green, no spaces, no dashes, because there's a lot of content in here. I'd love to partner with you on anything. If there's any information that I can support you with, I'd love to. If I can connect you with anybody, I'd love to do that as well. I'm thinking right off the top of my head, there's Cal Recycle, who I think would be a great partnership for you. They're right there making legislation in California. And they do a terrible job of getting their message out, which is exactly your message, yeah. But you're doing it so much more effectively.
Thank you. I would definitely be more than happy to connect with some people. I think, yeah, I mean, you're not the first person. I actually get a lot of people telling me, like, I thought you were a whole team, or I thought you were a company. Like, that's probably one of the top comments I get was like, oh my God, I had no idea you were one person. And I'm like, yes, I am one person.
I'll definitely connect you with some people. I'll bring you into some conversations today at 10 o'clock. We've got a Clubhouse group that hops on. We talk about sustainability and packaging. There's a lot of different things that I've been learning on there. We've got a few people from South Africa that hop on and kind of talk to us what's happening there, you know, in terms of like some of these companies that are talking about, you know, if you buy one of these products, we're going to plant two trees, or this replanting thing that's happening. You know, a lot of what's happening is they'll go out and they'll clear the grasslands because, you know, when you look out there, it kind of looks like a desert. It's all these, you know, just grass. Oh, it's just grass. But really, it's an entire ecosystem. And there's just so much biodiversity there. But they clear it and they plant pine trees or eucalyptus trees. And they go to a monoculture and it just kills everything.
Yeah, that one was really surprising. Well, not that specific instance, but learning about tree planting scams. I actually wrote an article about it for Euronews like a few months ago, because I learned about that and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like, people are really being like straight up scammed. I recently re-got into, I guess, King of the Hill, and I've been absolutely obsessed with watching it. And they actually did this really amazing job at explaining the similar issues with like carbon offsets. And I think it's like in the last season, like episode 2, there's like a carbon offset one, and like, essentially, you know, Hank, he works in propane, and his boss is like, we need to look green. And so then his boss is like, he goes to this dude that like has acres of land, and he's like, I want to buy the rights to your trees. And Hank's like, you can't do that. Like, that's not helping the environment. Like, those trees are already working. What are you talking about? And he's like, of course I can. Like, I can buy the rights to it, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like carbon offsets and the tree planting things have like a lot of those similarities. And if anybody likes King of the Hill, totally recommend
it. I've got to go back and watch that episode. That's so funny. But you're right. You know, these carbon offsets, people are, you feel good, right? It's like this emotional, you're like, oh, I just bought this product and somewhere they've just planted trees in my name. You know, like, you feel like you're doing something, but you haven't done anything. You know, you don't know if somebody's actually, one, you don't know if anybody's actually planting something. You don't know if that tree was already there. You know, in order for trees to actually absorb enough carbon to offset, you know, our consumption, they've got to be in the ground for over 100 years.
Yeah, it's got to be old growth forest.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless because there's no system in place for these places where you plant these trees. Who's going to be taking care of this forest in 10 years or 20 years? You know, are they going to cut it down for new material? And if they cut it down before, it doesn't really help.
I do wonder, though, if something like seaweed could be theoretically like an actual better carbon offset, considering like it does absorb way more carbon and it grows like way faster. So I do wonder that occasionally. Like, obviously, it would have to be done responsibly. Like, that's kind of like a given. But like, if it were done responsibly and if it were maintained, you know, I mean, I know in California, like, there's like a lot of the kelp forest, I think in like Northern California, is like disappearing because like the water's warming up. And so I wonder, you know, if people were trying to replenish that and stuff like that, like, would that be of use? But again, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Ariel, I think as we kind of wrap up here, I'd love to, as we're talking, I'm just thinking of everybody that I want to connect you with. You talk about seaweed. There's a company in London I would love to connect you with. And I just see all of these people that are doing good work, but having a terrible time of getting the word out. You're doing an amazing job of getting the word out. I see ways to do this. Even if you're just learning about it, I think it is helpful.
Consulting is fun. I've definitely done that for other podcasts and other brands and people. And I love consulting. I love being behind the scenes way more than like, buy this product. It's like a lot more fun for me. I don't necessarily need my face on it. And I think it's, yeah, I like to do that.
I think it's awesome. So if anybody wants to find out more about you, where should they go?
They should definitely go to Instagram again at Go Green Save Green. I'm also on Twitter, although I am not, I'm always lurking, but I'm a lot less active on Twitter just because I don't know if I have the mental energy to fight people on Twitter. But if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's at Go Green Save Green, except the last green, it's GRE2, but Go Green Save Green. Too. You can also email me. If somebody wants to email me, they can just email me at gogreensavegreen@protonmail.com.
Awesome.
That's it for the show. Thanks so much for joining us on Package Design Unboxed. If you have any questions, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always available for questions. Once again, check us out at packagedesignunboxed.com.